I love cooking because cooking is so much more fun when you have good-looking, quality cookware.
Yeah. And even though cooking is not my favorite thing, it is made so much more pleasurable by having high-quality cookware. That's one thing my nutritionist said to me. She's like, you need to have a kitchen you're happy to be in.
Yeah.
And that includes beautiful pieces of cookware that you're going to be excited to use. And that actually works.
That's why we are so excited to be partners with Caraway, because it's time to ditch the chemicals with Caraway Home's non-toxic cookware and bakeware collections so you can make healthier cooking a piece of cake.
Yeah, their non-toxic kitchenware is all designed for the modern home. It has a chemical-free ceramic coating so food can be prepared with the peace of mind that there's not any frightening, hard-to-pronounce compounds leaching into your healthy food.
And you know me, if something comes in a brilliant color, a beautiful, bright color, I'm all about it. And
Hell
that
yeah.
is why I love my saucepan in the marigold color.
Oh, it's so pretty.
Oh, man. In the frying pan, in the paracotta, my eggs slip right off that like a little baby egg slip and slide.
Yeah, they're ceramic. And so that naturally slick surface means you don't have to use as much oil or butter to get the slide off the pan eggs and yeah. easy cleaning.
If I had a new home, I would love getting this as a housewarming gift.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh.
So visit carawayhome.com/taste to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase. And that deal is exclusively for our listeners.
So visit carawayhome.com/taste or use our code TASTE at checkout.
Caraway, non-toxic cookware made modern.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen Heaney, your tile palette lifting, why are my lips so dang chapped? It's spring and I'm over it. I figured out why the first pancake is always the worst pancake, friend.
And I'm Bethany Watson, your vet emergency room visiting, always filled with anxiety now. God bless lemon iced tea, friend.
And every week, Bethany and I get together to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about...
I realized I always come across as rude, and I'm going to figure out why, and also how, if you have the same problem, we can fix it together. I recently saw a video of myself talking to someone, and I just looked angry the whole time.
Oh, no.
So, we're going to have a little reckoning with ourselves. What about you, Kathleen?
Well, this week I am talking about superfood news.
Superfood news.
Tomatoes, tea, squid, and salad.
Squid.
Yes. I can't wait to tell you what's up with squid.
Squid. Kill them all. I mean, don't. But they're the scariest of the ocean monsters. Remember when we talked about the Humboldt squid?
Yes.
Oh,
I know. We do, like, weirdly and oddly talk a lot about squids on this podcast.
They're terrifying. Kathleen, how was your weekend as we record this on a Monday?
Oh, I had an excellent weekend, Bethany.
What did you do? It's so weird that we're in studio. I'm looking at you and I feel like I'm voyeuristic. Like, I keep looking down because it's weird to see you right here.
I know. I keep looking into your eyes.
I know.
And you know how we always say that it's a miracle that we produce a podcast every week and that it gets out at all?
Shocking.
So our studio is on 34th Street.
Yeah.
And I was like, this podcast is truly a miracle on 34th Street.
It is. It's a miracle on 34th Street. Jesus. What did you do this weekend?
I did some home renovations.
Fun.
But I have to tell you, I did something that was so, so satisfying.
What was it?
So I was working on a room that has these tall, high beams. Comes to a steeple, like sort of like a side room off a house.
Sure, like an attic room, maybe.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. And it has these beams that haven't been dusted in 30 years.
Oh my God.
So I got on a ladder and I was putting my Swiffer in the air, my Swiffer duster, the heavy duty kind.
Yeah.
And it still wasn't tall enough. So I duct taped it to an end of a broom. So I had this really long contraption. And Bethany, getting not this, I mean, the sides of the beam, sometimes it's hard for dust to hang on, but the top of the beam.
Oh, it's just sitting right there.
Where nobody sees. So satisfying watching that dirt, like, knock it off and watching it just come down through the sunlight like God's dirty rain. It was
did it come off in like Dryer sheets.
Yeah.
I hope, please tell me you were wearing a mask and eye protection.
Oh, I definitely was. Okay. And I took some video so I can show you.
My chair. Did you just hear my chair crack I leaned backwards? It's so satisfying. If you ever, like, I dry things over the tops of my doors.
Yes.
And so I have to dust them regularly. Otherwise, your, you know, wet clothing gets dust on it. And it is just disgusting. It's awful.
Gentle listener, spring cleaning. If you haven't looked at the top of your doors recently or the top of your cabinets.
Yeah, the tops of everything. Get a razor blade if it's the top of your cabinets in the kitchen because you're going to want to scrape off all of that greasy gunk.
My mom's friend calls cobwebs Irish lace.
I feel like that's a little offensive to the Irish, but I don't know why.
Listen, I'm Irish and I don't take offense to it. I don't like cleaning. Bethany, I heard you had a little bit of a tumultuous weekend.
I am like drained / close to tears / just barely holding it together this morning.
Yeah.
We spent 5 or 6 hours yesterday at the vet emergency room. Most of you know we lost our cat Loki about 6 weeks ago, max. Minerva is also the same age that Loki was when he died, 5.
Yeah.
Unrelated to each other. She threw up Saturday night and then she threw up Sunday morning. And that's not good.
Yeah.
Took her to the vet. They thought she had hyperthyroidism, which would have explained so much about her. She can play for 6 hours straight and not get tired.
Yeah.
She always looks matted and greasy. She smells like shit. All of this stuff. Wasn't her blood work came back totally normal, but they found a heart murmur and we have to watch her kidney. So it's just... It was just 6 hours of being on the verge of tears and not and being afraid. Whatever.
I know. I didn't want to text you. I was texting your boyfriend and I was like, please keep me in the loop. What's going on? Because, my goodness gracious.
Just awful. But we got x-rays of her. And I have an x-ray, I'm going to post it on my Instagram today, of her head, which had nothing to do with what they needed to get x-rays about. But the amazing vet also thought she's such a weird looking cat. We were curious what her head looks like. And she wouldn't sit still for the head x-rays.
Oh, poor baby.
So her head x-ray looks like it has 4 ears. But you can see her underbite so amazingly well.
Oh, yeah. Sweet girl.
So it's just been a tough... it's been a tough weekend.
When you started mentioning your cat's x-ray, I was like, what are you missing and what did you find in her stomach?
Nothing. They didn't find anything. I was like, maybe a spring. Maybe there's, you know, something mechanical is causing her to not be able to process food. But no, we don't know. So just like send good thoughts to our strange little one-eyed cat.
So it was your boyfriend's birthday too.
Yes.
Dennis, is sometimes editor to this pod.
Yes.
And I want to let you know, because I feel very guilty about what I did.
What?
I sent him some fire emojis after he posted his ab photo.
He posted a shirtless
and I
vegan
was,
at 45 great abs photo.
I mean, it's so ripped. And I felt guilty. I was like, I need to come clean to Bethany that I sent her partner in life some fire emoji.
It's fine.
There was no eggplant emoji. It was a friendly fire.
It's understood. It's the best kind of friendly fire. It's understood that we will flirt with each other's partners.
Yes.
That's how this relationship works.
Right, yes.
And it's fine. You know, like I will probably send hot flame emoji pictures to your husband at some point.
Please.
What are you going to do?
Somebody should.
Uh-huh. He's a good looking guy.
Thank you.
So I had a rough weekend. I am happy that it is a Monday, oddly.
Yeah.
I am looking down the barrel of one of those days where it's get everything done that you've been putting off days.
Yeah.
And those are the days where I make a list and the list feels overwhelming, but it's like mail that package you've been needing to mail for 2 months.
Yeah.
Return those clothes you've been needing to return.
I have so much to return. I can't even tell you.
All of that stuff. And how does it all land on one day? And then you're just like, I got to be super productive today.
I know.
But tomorrow feels like a better day to be so productive.
I hear you. I'm facing that too. I'm going to visit the orthodontist today.
Are you getting braces?
I'm not. Oh my God. Jesus Lord, no, not again. Neil and I met when I had braces, and that is why I knew I had to marry him, because he loved me when I had metal teeth.
Yeah.
I'm getting a splint for my TMJ to try and heal that over the next 6 months, and then I'm going to get Invisalign.
What does a splint look like for your TMJ?
I have no idea. I imagine it's a mouth guard. I'm not really sure.
Let's look.
But I have like a major grinding teeth in my sleep problem, so.
Yeah, you and me both, sister.
Yeah, it's time to take control.
It looks like a night guard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I figured.
Like a big night guard. Here's a picture of a woman sleeping beautifully with a night guard case next to her bed.
Oh.
I have a feeling her bite won't look like that.
Yeah. I have a feeling that there's maybe nothing in her mouth.
Yeah. So is the splint is the splint meant to just keep you from grinding, or is it meant to actually like realign your jaw?
It's meant to keep me from grinding so the cartilage and the muscles, I think, in my jaw can heal.
Okay, that yeah. makes sense. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you and I probably have a very similar nighttime routine. I have two retainers that I wear.
At night?
Yeah. I have, like, they're Invisalign.
Yeah.
But they have bumps on the inside of the teeth.
Oh.
And so that when you bite down, your teeth don't actually hit each other because of the bumps. And then on top of that, I wear another mouth guard retainer thing that's like two like pieces of plastic that sit between your teeth.
Yeah.
Right? One on the left, one on the right. So you bite down on the plastic tabs, and then there's like a plastic part that goes along your bottom teeth to hold the tabs in place.
Yeah.
So I have an Invisalign, and then I have another tab I bite on so that I can't, because I'll chew through anything.
Yeah.
Give me a fender, I'll chew through it.
I hear, Neil says it's so bad he can audibly hear my teeth grinding when he's sleeping next to me. I mean, it's not like you and I are riddled with anxiety or anything.
It's not like we're going to cry any minute.
Or anything. Okay, before we wrap this up, I have a bee in my bonnet and I need to tell you about it.
Tell me everything.
Why are microwaves so big?
How big are they?
Bethany, my microwave is the same width as my damn oven stove thing.
Whoa, that's huge.
It's big. And I have been looking at pictures of kitchens. Like, you famously do not have a microwave.
Right, there's no space for one.
But I don't understand why Americans need microwaves that are so big.
Are they trying to make it so that, like, we can cook whole meals in it?
Who is cooking a dang turkey in a microwave?
My mom once made a Thanksgiving turkey in the microwave.
She didn't.
Like, this was in her youth, in her 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
She, instead of, like, not making Thanksgiving dinner, I guess she was like, and it worked. She said it worked.
Get out of
here.
Yeah,
she, microwaved it for, like, I don't know, 4 hours. I don't know what the power bill was that month.
So, okay, normal person, what do you put in a microwave? A cup of coffee.
Sure.
Maybe I'm heating up, like, a bowl of soup.
Leftovers.
A small plate of food.
Yeah.
I'm not putting a casserole in the microwave and setting it and forgetting it.
No,
I'm just
not. No.
Okay, a bag of popcorn.
Sure.
They're not that big.
Yeah.
The microwave industry is out to get us. They are stealing cabinet space from us, Bethany.
Yeah, they are. Why are microwaves so big? I'm typing into Google.
They
only
need to be like a square cube. That's all you need.
This person says, why are microwaves bigger? A higher wattage, the better it will work. Depending on the microwave, that's not what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Bigger microwaves will tend to have a higher wattage. They'll usually be more expensive.
I don't understand why anybody needs a big microwave like that.
In general, the higher the wattage, the faster. Okay, so it has to be bigger, I guess, for it to be faster, is what this seems like.
Okay, but how fast do you really need your cup of coffee to heat up?
I mean, we all want things immediately. We're in America. We're Americans. We want and deserve things immediately.
No, I'm going to start a petition. Make microwaves smaller, but just as fast.
I know. Why does it have to be a size thing?
Bethany, every single kitchen I see, the microwave is, you could fit a small child in that microwave.
I feel like the trend is,
yeah,
stronger, faster, smaller. You know,
yeah,
phones.
Uh-huh.
Other electronics.
Underwear sometimes.
Smaller, faster, stronger. So that should also be the case with microwaves. Make it smaller. I want the size of my phone.
Uh-huh.
So that I can put one piece of cake in it and that's it.
That's it.
That's all I need is a little bit of a warm cake. Nothing sounds more delicious than a warm cake with some weird melted frosting, which is stuck to the inside of your tiny microwave because it's too small. Bombas' mission is simple. Make the most comfortable clothes ever and match every item sold with an equal item donated. So when you buy Bombas, you're also giving to someone in need.
Yesterday, my husband brought shame to the family. Because we showed up at his brother's house and he took his shoes off and there's a big hole in his sock and everyone's like, why is there a hole in your sock? Didn't you feel the breeze on your toes? And that is because he wasn't wearing one of our Bombas socks.
He had gone through the Bombas socks and had worked his way back to the gross socks.
Yeah, the Bombas socks were dirty and he's like, oh, I'll just wear this regular pair. Incorrect.
Incorrect. Bombas socks are made from super soft materials like merino wool, Pima cotton, even cashmere. So they're great cozy layers and the best part is that their socks do not have a seam at the toe, so you're not going to get a toe callus. They have support around the arch of your foot, so your foot feels nice and squozen in a good way.
They also make wonderful things like t-shirts and underwear that barely feels like it's even on your body.
I know, it makes you panic a little bit until you remember, oh, it's Bombas.
It's like a second skin. You forget it's even there, but in a good way.
Yeah. And socks, underwear, and t-shirts are the three most requested clothing items at homeless shelters, and that's why Bombas donates one for every item you buy.
So go to bombas.com/taste to get 20% off of your first purchase.
That's bombas.com/taste for 20% off.
bombas.com/taste.
Stop bringing shame to your family.
Yeah, he did. It was so embarrassing. Bethany, have you ever heard of purple tomatoes?
No.
Okay.
Sounds like a euphemism for something.
I know.
Like, baby, you won't sleep with me. I got them purple tomatoes.
Those purple tomatoes are causing me blue balls.
Yeah.
Okay. So you know how blueberries are touted as one of the best foods you can eat?
Yes. They have these, the antioxidants.
Exactly. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. Antioxidants. They're low in sugar. They're high in fiber.
Yeah.
And okay, so you stole my thunder.
I'm sorry.
My next line in my notes is, and you've probably heard the word antioxidant thrown around a lot.
I have.
It's a popular health word.
Yes. I don't know what it means, okay, but I'm glad about it.
In simple terms, antioxidants are a molecule that fight free radicals in your body.
Great.
Okay, what are free radicals?
What are they? Sound like a band.
Free radicals are compounds that cause harm if the levels are too high in your body. So they're linked to illnesses like diabetes, heart disease, cancer.
Great.
Okay.
I mean, not great. Sad. Not great.
Sad.
Upsetting.
So foods that are high in antioxidants fight cancer. They fight all sorts of disease in your body.
Okay.
So purple tomatoes are a genetically modified tomato to make it rich in the beneficial pigments found in superfoods such as blueberries.
So the pigments are what caused them to be so antioxidants.
Yeah. Yeah, the pigment. Lots of good, like purple things that are purple. Purple cabbage is good for you.
Sure, yeah.
Blueberries. So now the scientists in the UK, they've developed these tomatoes that have the same blueberry antioxidants.
Do they taste good?
They taste just like regular tomatoes.
Whoa!
I know. And so they could go on sale in the US pretty soon. This company in the UK is fighting for approval so they can sell seeds to farmers in America.
Cool. Amazing.
So now if you're like, huh, but I don't like those GMOs.
I don't trust them.
You know, when we're doing commercials for food products,
yeah,
and some of the marketing that they give us is non-GMO, we never say it.
Yeah, we don't. Because not all GMOs are created equal.
And not all GMOs are bad,
yeah,
slash maybe no GMOs are bad. But listen, that's my opinion only.
It's a whole thing.
Okay, it's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
But just to give you like the quick rundown about GMOs, because I think like antioxidants, it's a buzzword. A lot of people don't understand it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of food products put it on their packaging just because people find it desirable for some reason.
Totally, absolutely.
Okay, so GMOs are genetically modified organisms. A lot of you may know that. So crops like corn and potatoes with GMOs, they're tweaked in a lab so they can produce higher quality of these foods or foods that don't go bad as mm-hmm. quickly.
Sure.
GMOs often will make foods healthier because, like we just talked about, these tomatoes now have the same antioxidants as blueberries.
Is it true, or did I make this up, that some genetically modified organisms are made so that they can grow in places where they would not normally be able to grow?
Yes. And also, that could solve world hunger. Like people that are starving, especially in communities where they don't have high nutritious foods.
Sure.
You can genetically modify the foods that they do have to get to have the nutrients that they need that they're missing. So these tomatoes with the purple skin and the purple flesh inside, they contain 10 times more anthocyanins than regular tomatoes.
I feel like I want to see a marinara sauce that looks more like blood because it's like a dark purple red.
It's going to be possible.
Yes.
Because right now you might see brown tomatoes or purple tomatoes, but when you cut it open, still red on the inside.
Yeah.
The difference is that these new purple tomatoes are still purple on the inside.
That's so great. And it's very on trend for Halloween every year.
Oh, yeah. A purple tomato sauce.
Totally. It's going to look real bloody and people are going to love it.
GMOs are also great because you can modify crops to use less pesticides.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Some people are like, oh, GMO crops may increase food allergies. So if you're using like a soybean variant inside of a tomato,
yeah,
somebody who's allergic to soybeans who can regularly eat tomatoes, there might be like some cross-contamination.
Sure.
Really, a lot of the allergens when they're doing this GMO crossing, a lot of them are taken out.
Okay.
So there is like a little bit of concern in that area. Also, some people don't like GMOs because they can be resistant to certain antibiotics.
Okay.
And so if you eat too many of these things, then your body could be potentially resistant to antibiotics.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Yada, yada, yada.
That is a legitimate concern.
Bethany, yada, yada, yada. No. Yada, yada. Yada.
Okay.
So purple tomatoes. That's the first one on my list. Let's check it off.
Okay? Check it off.
Let's talk about tea.
I hate tea. I like iced tea. I know I just said I like iced tea at the beginning of this episode.
You're just sitting here talking about how you wish you had more iced tea in your cup.
I like it when it's iced. I hate it when it's hot. Makes me sick to my stomach when it's hot.
Really?
Yeah, I don't understand tea. We famously had a tea argument.
Oh, when I did the episode about tea in Britain and
yeah,
the history.
Yeah, you talked about tea. Yeah. Okay. I hate tea, but I like it cold.
So what about matcha?
I like matcha. I can't do anything hot, but.
Really?
Not when it comes to tea. But I've liked it in a latte.
Yeah.
I've liked it in a cold something or other.
I prefer matcha over regular green tea because I really like that grassy taste.
There's something so strange about you.
I just like the grassy green taste.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like I'm doing something really healthy for my body.
And is matcha just a different strain of green tea?
It is a higher quality. It's a very high quality green tea. It's a green tea leaf that has been, they call it ceremonial grade, and it's dried out and crushed up into a fine powder.
Okay.
That's
okay.
All it is.
Yeah, I like it. I used to work at Starbucks. Uh-huh. They had matcha stuff.
Uh-huh.
It was like bright green, which I worry isn't the color it's necessarily supposed to be.
No, it's supposed to be bright green.
Like a bright green?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, good.
The greener the better, Bethany.
Ah.
Colors are full of antioxidants.
You know what? Colors matter.
So I enjoy a hot cup of water with some matcha mixed in from time to time. A little frothed milk.
Sure.
Maybe like a touch of sugar, mm-hmm. simple syrup if I want a treat.
Yeah. A little bit of coffee creamer, like 5 cups of coffee creamer
Nope.
So good.
And I think I like tea better than I like coffee. I know you're silent and you're staring at me right now.
I'm sorry.
I know.
Are you a college student who just came back from study abroad in London? I think I like tea better than coffee.
I do.
I also wear my dresses over my jeans because I just came home from Europe.
Bethany, when I put on the kettle at night and I'm like, Neil, do you want a cuppa?
Oh,
I feel so fancy and adult.
What does Neil say?
He's like, no.
And why are you saying cuppa?
Because that's what it is, a cuppa.
Yeah, I know. Okay. They say cuppa.
So for everybody out there who likes to make themselves a cup of tea at night,
yeah.
I'm here to warn you.
Uh-oh.
That you really should be using like a matcha, maybe not at night.
Because that has green tea is caffeinated.
A lot of caffeine in it. You should be using either dry tea leaves or tea leaves that are paper. Because a Canadian team found that steeping a plastic tea bag at a brewing temperature of 95 degrees Celsius releases 11.6 billion microplastics into your cup.
What tea bags are plastic?
There are tea bags out there where it's like a very fine knit plastic where you dunk them, like plastic that doesn't melt.
Oh.
And sometimes, Bethany, they're triangle shaped instead of like a regular flat tea bag shape. And sometimes it's the fancier teas where they are sort of like a plastic triangle cube thing.
You know what? I always thought they were like a paper.
The old school ones are paper. Some of the fancier teas use these plastic bags, and you really need to avoid tea in plastic like that because you're just drinking a cup of microplastics.
Wow. Uh-huh. Okay, I'm glad you said that.
Yes. So that is why if you are really into green tea and maybe your favorite green tea dunking thing is plastic, maybe it's time to switch to matcha.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So they're not really sure on the effects that this will have on humans, like in the long run, because they haven't done enough studies. But they did test tea with microplastics on water fleas, And the particles didn't kill the water fleas, but it did cause significant behavioral effects and developmental malformations.
Like they got rage?
Something like that, yeah.
Like they got rage.
Microplastic rage.
They started running really fast.
Yeah.
Like they were undead, but alive, running really fast. You'd think they'd shamble, but no, they were running so fast.
Water flea zombies.
They were running so very fast, so and you had fast. To run from them. It was more of a rage.
So, Bethany, I know you don't drink tea, so this isn't for you.
But I'm safe.
Anybody else? Anybody else? Make sure you're not drinking plastic.
No, don't drink plastic.
Uh-huh.
You're also going back to microwaves. Don't microwave your plastic containers.
No,
no. And then eat what's in them.
Because you're going to drink the BPA.
You're going to be eating all that hot plastic.
This is why we really shouldn't have microwaves. We should just have a machine that heats up your coffee and everything else should go in the oven.
Yeah.
Or like everybody should have, what's those little ovens that you put on the countertop?
Hot plates?
Nope, not a hot plate. Like a toaster oven.
Toaster ovens.
Yes.
I know people swear by their toaster ovens.
Some people only cook their meals in toaster ovens ever.
When I'm in the Delta Lounge, because I have a credit card that lets me go there.
Yeah, yeah.
They usually have a toaster oven.
Yeah.
And one time, someone at the Delta Lounge, the employee was like so mad because the burning smell was coming from the toaster oven. He was like, what's going on? And he dug in there with his tongs and he pulled out a donut and he was like, who put a donut in the toaster oven? It says here, no donuts in the toaster oven. And everyone waiting was like, not me. And then the guy pulled out this crispy burned donut. And then at the end, the guy said, it was me.
Oh no.
And his daughter was mortified.
You know, I have those passes too to the United Lounge.
Yeah.
And so I only get like 2 or 3 a year. And every time I'm flying, I'm like, no, there's going to be a time when I need this more. And then at the end of the year, I still have all of my 3 passes and
how
I've never used them.
How many times are you flying every year?
Well, I used to fly a lot.
Sure.
I used to go places.
Yeah.
But so do you, basically every time you fly, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Does your Delta credit card let you in the Delta Lounge every time?
Every time.
Dang it.
I pay a lot every year, but it's worth it because I get miles on miles on miles.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, and I get like guest passes if I find a friend one day.
Are you kidding
and they
me?
Want to fly with me. Yeah.
How much is your premium on your Delta card?
Like $7 million, but it's worth it. I pay more in that premium than I make every year, but I feel like someday I'm going to operate out a win and not a loss.
Do they give you free Uber trips too?
No. I okay. do have to send them nudes, which is weird.
Oh, that's
that also
weird.
Feels weird.
Yeah, but maybe worth it.
I mean, you get Delta Lounge.
You get the toaster oven.
Yeah.
Okay. Bethany, let's talk about coffee.
Yes.
Okay. I know you take your hot coffee with some milk and your iced coffee black, right?
That's right. I'm trying to get off of that creamer.
Yeah.
I once calculated how much I'm taking in when I eat all that creamer every day. It's 2 meals worth.
Have you ever been out of milk and then used creamer in your cereal? Because yeah. I've done that.
Yeah. Have you ever had so much creamer at Christmas time that you just put a little vodka in the creamer and all of a sudden you have a thick white Russian?
Oh, sure thing. Have you ever taken a little bit of creamer and then froze it because you were out of ice cream and you ate frozen creamer?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, and have you ever frozen your creamer because you ran out of ice cream and then ate the creamer like ice cream and then cried a little bit at how far you've fallen in life?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
High five across the table.
High five across the table. Okay. Well, speaking of ice cream, I'll go off on a little tangent here. My nutritionist says that if we want, because I said to her, I said, Rachel, sometimes I need a little something sweet at night.
Yeah.
I don't have a huge sweet tooth, but you know, like I like 6 or 7 cookies.
Yeah, you know, a moderate sweet tooth.
She said that the best sort of ice cream bars you can buy are the Yasso ones because they at least have protein in them.
Oh.
Because they're Greek yogurt.
I get Chloe's.
Yes.
I get the Chloe's coconut bars with chocolate on them.
Yeah.
They taste like a frozen Mounds bar.
Oh, my goodness.
They're friggin' delicious.
Speaking of Mounds bars,
yeah.
Have you heard of this candy company called Unreal?
No.
It's like healthy candy.
That's unreal.
Okay, well, I keep trying to tell Rachel that it's healthy candy.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, that's the name of it, but there's no such thing as healthy candy.
Fire Rachel.
No, I love Rachel. I'm not going to fire Rachel.
Her.
Anyway, since you're talking about Mounds bars,
yeah.
They have their own version of like an Almond Joy. No, wait, what's the difference?
Almond Joy has nuts, Mounds don't.
Okay, Mounds, so they have their own version of a Mounds bar that's better than a regular Mounds bar.
That's unreal,
because
Kathleen.
Because it's covered in dark chocolate
and
it's not sickeningly sweet. You get
all
more
right.
coconut, like a hearty coconut taste.
Where can one get some of these? Non-spawn.
I buy them on Once Upon a Time Spawn Thrive Market.
Oh, yes. Thrive Market.
Yeah, yeah.
Love Thrive Market.
I know. Okay. Anyway, let's go back to coffee.
Hell yeah.
I take my coffee black
Yeah.
A lot of times I like a good latte or a cappuccino.
Yeah.
Okay. And I find it so annoying when I splurge on a latte.
Yeah.
And it's all ice.
Yeah.
Don't
do that to me. If I'm getting an iced latte, there had better be.
Yeah.
Mostly milk, cold milk.
Yeah.
Don't do this warm milk and then hopefully the ice will make. No.
Super
no,
frothy.
No. Better. So do you put ice? Wait, frothy on. Wait, what kind of latte are you getting?
I like a. They froth your iced latte, don't they?
Do they?
Yeah, of course they do.
Oh.
Yeah, they make it like a. I mean, I know you're really upset about lattes because you can really froth that milk to be like double the capacity of what it typically is.
Yeah, I'm a real good frother.
So you're paying for air.
Yeah.
Okay, so I always ask for light ice because I hate when I'm paying for all ice.
Yeah.
So I swear this all leads back to squids.
But we're going
to
get there.
We're going to get there. I just want to touch on this ice thing for a second. On April 4th, a TikTok user named @breakfaststat_tiffany's_ posted a video from a drive-thru in Seattle.
Okay.
You can't tell the name of the coffee chain from the video, where they charge an extra dollar for no ice.
Because it's extra
extra
milk.
Product.
Yeah, that makes sense, though.
I know, but that is so ridiculous.
It shouldn't be a dollar.
If they you should ask for light ice.
Yeah.
Instead of no ice. Because you're going to drink that latte warm?
No, right. I think they should, because if you're getting,
yeah.
Do you remember what size she was getting? Did she say or how big it was?
No, she didn't.
Because if you're getting, let's say you're at Starbucks, you're getting a venti, that's an iced venti is 20 ounces.
Yeah.
You're probably getting maybe 3 to 4 ounces extra of milk.
Okay.
That's not a dollar's worth of milk.
I know.
That's 50 cents.
At max.
If it's oat milk, maybe 60 cents.
So once I ordered a margarita with no ice when Neil and I went out to dinner, because the first margarita that I ordered was basically like a tablespoon of margarita.
Unacceptable.
And so I was like, can I have another one, but like no ice?
Yeah.
And Bethany, they brought me a glass of a margarita. There was only 1/4 of liquid in the cup. Because they're like, oh, you don't want the ice? This is how much liquid is in our regular margarita.
They like owned up to the fact that you're not getting anything.
Yeah. And they still charged me $17 for that margarita.
Shut up. That's like a shot of margarita.
Oh,
that's
man.
Why you have to make really good friends with the bartender.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you got to flirt with them a little bit. Sorry, Neil. But like, this is what you have to do if you want to save money.
You do. Yeah. Or just drink margaritas at home alone.
Yeah.
In a dark room crying.
Exactly. With your coffee creamer ice cream. It's fine.
Okay. So coffee and squids. Let me tell you what this is.
My favorite talk show.
Okay. So squids, their skin, it changes the way it absorbs heat when it stretches. You know, because squids, they can change color, they can stretch, they can get real small, get real big, right?
Yeah, it's like, they're like magicians.
So scientists have found that squid skin, the science in squid skin can potentially change packaging for takeout food or takeout coffee. So your coffee and your food will stay hotter for longer.
Are we studying their skin to replicate it, or are we going to kill them and use their skin to package our noodles?
Studying our skin.
Okay.
Studying the skin to replicate it. So it's all of this is going on at the University of California in Irvine. They've created a material made of highly reflective nanoscale copper plates embedded in elastic polymer, which is sort of like a replica of squid skin.
Cool.
This material changes how heat is reflected or transmitted through food containers and can regulate, like I said, the temperature of food or drink that it contains.
So I'm guessing like when it's stretched more, like the heat is, I don't know, the heat reacts differently or behaves differently in the skin than when it's all bunched together.
Yes, exactly.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
I know, right?
Man, those underwater animals are good for something. Thank God, because they're terrifying and they will pull you under.
So squid skin, if you find a squid, be kind to it. Please don't skin it. But just know that one day your coffee cup may be made out of a material based off of skid squin. By the way, Bethany, I'm here to tell you that Harvard said that the healthy amount of coffee that you are allowed to drink every day is 2 to 5 cups. I know. I know.
What are we defining healthy as?
2 to 5 cups. 8 ounces is a cup, right?
Yeah.
Okay, 2 to 5 cups. That amount will help you fight things like diabetes, heart disease, liver and other endometrial cancers, Parkinson's disease, depression.
Okay.
I'm surprised you're still depressed with the amount of coffee that you drink.
Me
honestly.
Too, actually. So, okay, 5 cups is actually, that's fine.
Yeah.
I was thinking, because a cup is smaller than you think it is.
Yeah.
If I define a cup as a real cup, that's just about the right amount. If I define a cup as like one cup of coffee.
Yeah.
That's not enough.
Mugs usually have like 12 or 16 ounces in them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just bigger than a cup. Also, something that I cannot stop laughing at is once upon a time, you know, they used to think that coffee wasn't good for you.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Bethany, yeah. Because the people that they studied were also smokers.
God, are you serious?
I'm serious. This comes from Harvard.edu. So, like, all of these studies came out probably in the 90s. We're like, coffee can give you lung cancer.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
And when they actually took a look at the study, it was just because the people that they studied were like heavy coffee drinkers, but also smokers, which makes sense.
Oh my God. That's like saying driving a car is definitely going to kill you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they tested it. Yeah. And all of the people they tested it on were just like crash and like stunt drivers. It's like, oh man, driving's dangerous.
Don't drink that coffee. It'll give you asthma.
Oh man.
You know, this happens a lot of times in obesity studies.
Yeah.
Because they're like, you're fat. You're going to die from being fat.
Yeah.
But they don't take into account that like these people also have a long family history of cancer.
Yeah. And like, you know, also smoke a lot.
Yeah. Also smoke a lot.
Like look at your test subjects.
And like, you have to do the same study on thin people with long histories of family cancer and who smoke a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Stupid.
Yeah.
So stupid. Okay. Bethany, last but not least, is your salad going to kill you?
Probably.
Okay. So eating healthy can be tricky, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, if you're on the go, getting food that's made by somebody else, you don't know what's in it.
No, I never. Usually butter.
Butter. Or sometimes even when I'm at home, all I want is a dang frozen pizza, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're popping in an Elio's and it comes out, it's glistening, it's beautiful, but you're like, all right, I'm going to put some salad next to it.
Yeah.
Take a picture of that.
Beautiful.
And you're like, you put it on your Insta story. Yeah. You're like, all about balance.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Right? One full pizza, one full tiny bowl of salad.
And then you're super healthy. Aunt Susan is like, nah, that salad's going to kill you.
I hate her.
I know. Or we all have that like one non-accredited, uncertified friend who thinks she's a nutritionist because she learned it off the internet.
Yes.
If it's more important, you get balance and this as well.
Her name is Ice Christina. And she's like, that arugula on your plate, it's full of nitrogens.
What are nitrogens?
Bethany. Yes, there have been some studies published about arugula having nitrogens. Or
what are nitrogens?
If you're from Britain, rocket leaf. Okay, nitrogens, I don't know, they're bad. Nitrogens. It's a compound. It's from the periodic table. Nitrogen.
It just says it's a chemical element.
It's a chemical element, okay? So
are you talking about nitrates?
Nitrates.
Nitrogens sound like the backup singer for a dude named Adam. Like Adam and the Nitrogens.
I am looking.
And the Nitrogens are just sexy ladies.
I am like Josie and the Pussycats.
Yeah.
Nitrates. I'm looking at my notes and says nitrates. I don't know why my brain is saying nitrogens.
Because you're thinking about those backup ladies.
I am. Okay. So nitrates. Yes, there are nitrates in your arugula.
Okay.
Should you be worried? Absolutely effing not.
Why not?
Because unless you're eating buckets and buckets of arugula every day, it's fine.
Arugula is disgusting anyway.
What?
There are way better. You should be eating butter leaf lettuce than arugula tastes. Arugula tastes like sour.
It's spicy salad.
It's dry sour.
Oh, Bethany. Okay, so nitrates, they come in leafy greens.
Okay.
Kale, spinach. Also, nitrates, yes, they're not good for you. But in sort of like this plant-based material, you don't need to worry about the amount of nitrates that are on your plate. So when crazy healthy Aunt Susie is like, stop eating rocket leaf, you're like, fuck off.
Yeah.
You eat hot dogs every single day.
And those have lots of nitrates.
If you are worried about nitrates, make sure that your processed meats say no nitrates.
Okay.
Okay. But not when it comes to your salad. And also, if you eat a lot of leafy greens, there are studies, specifically the University of Plymouth, they are like, hey, vegetarians have a lower link to cancer. Because they eat a lot of leafy greens because they're vegetarians.
Like that butter lettuce.
So like maybe nitrates from your leafy greens are better. Like they help you actually.
I don't know. Can you say for sure they help you?
No, I can't.
So that's a claim you just made up now.
Okay, let's pretend that I
feel like it's important we do say that maybe they're not going to help you.
Yeah, but they're not bad for you like hot dogs. No, your salad.
And actually, they're going to help you, says Kathleen.
Your salad will not kill you.
Unless you choke on it. Unless you put a giant crouton, like a big crouton in it.
No.
Choke on that crouton.
Bethany, chew your dang food, okay?
I can't. It's too good.
So, gentle listener, the only time when Bethany isn't mad at me for being late to something is when I tell her that I'm in therapy. So yeah. I just tell her that I'm in therapy all the time.
Kathleen!
Yep, because we love therapy. Everybody needs therapy.
Look, weaponize your therapy like Kathleen does. No, truly, therapy is so important. And if you have a wonky schedule or you're busy and you don't know how you're going to get into a therapist, or the idea of finding a new therapist feels so overwhelming, Talkspace is such a wonderful option because there is someone there at your fingertips easily.
Talkspace takes off the pressure of that first step. It's a more comfortable, flexible, and affordable way to get high quality therapy.
It's 24/7 text, audio, and video messaging. So Talkspace lets you talk to a licensed therapist without needing an appointment and without having to walk into an office if that's not something you're comfortable doing.
And no matter what you need help with in your life, whether it be a serious problem or you just need some everyday emotional tuning up,
yep.
Talkspace has a therapist for you.
More and more, I think people are realizing therapy isn't just for, I have a mental illness.
Yeah.
Therapy is for, I have a problem at work, or someone in my family is driving me crazy, mm-hmm. or I need to troubleshoot some options.
Yeah.
And a therapist is a person who is not a family member or friend who maybe can't be as impartial.
Yeah, they help you come up with coping mechanisms for
absolutely.
The stresses of everyday life.
Yes, and they have thousands of therapists across a ton of specialties. So once you match with your therapist, you can message them anytime, anywhere. So if thoughts and emotions are piling up, a fresh perspective can help you feel better.
Match with your dedicated therapist today at Talkspace.com and use the promo code TASTE during sign up to get $100 off of your first month.
That's $100 off at Talkspace.com. Promo code TASTE. Kathleen,
yeah.
If you've done a job and you know you have money coming to you, it's awful to have to wait for that paycheck, especially when you know you've already spent that paycheck and the bills are due.
Like me, every month, I hate logging into my account and it says pending.
Yeah.
F you, pending. That is why we are so excited to partner up with Chime.
With Chime, you can get your paycheck up to 2 days early with direct deposit.
That's up to 2 days more to save, pay bills, and generally just feel good about your money situation.
But they're more than just getting paid early. Chime is also an award-winning mobile app, checking account, debit card, and optional savings account.
Whoa.
When it comes to money stuff, there are so many options. It can feel so overwhelming to figure out which bank you're going to go to, where you're going to put your money, what savings.
Yeah.
It all feels super overwhelming. But with Chime, it's simplified for you.
So what are you waiting for? Hopefully not your paycheck. Get started with Chime today.
Applying for a free account takes less than 2 minutes.
Get started at Chime.com/taste. Again, that's Chime.com/taste.
Banking services and debit cards provided by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank MA, members FDIC. Early access to direct deposit funds depends on payer. So, Kathleen, I've talked before on the podcast about how I've been told by loved ones, Dennis, that sometimes I say things and they come across super differently than I intend.
Okay.
And he's right.
Okay.
You know, listening back to unedited episodes of our podcast, I realize that, like, when we're talking off mic but it's still recording, I sound so bitchy sometimes.
No, you don't.
I totally do. And so I wanted to do a little research into it, especially because, like I said in segment one, I saw a video of myself a couple weeks ago talking to a friend. So the reason the video was rolling because it was my aerial class. Mm. And so I turned my phone on to record this sequence to see how it looked. And as I was walking up to the fabric, I saw my friend Lulu and I thought Lulu might be about to use the fabric. So I said, oh, are you going to use this? And she goes, no, you can use it. I was like, oh, great. Thank you. That's what I thought I said.
Oh.
The video.
Yeah.
I look at her with a panicked, furrowed brow, and I say, were you going to use this? And bless Lulu's heart, she's like, no, you use it. And then you see my face completely lighten up and I go, great, thanks.
Oh my God.
I seem psychotic.
No, okay.
And so that's when I realized, God, it's amazing watching footage of yourself.
Yeah, it truly is.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I was looking into it. And I'm going to give you two guesses as to what causes this sort of dissonance between what you think you're coming across as and what you're actually coming across as. What do you think causes that?
I'm going to say maybe it relates to what Chris Rock has been talking about lately, like a nonverbal learning disorder.
Uh-huh.
I think it's what he calls, also known as being on the spectrum.
That's weird. I've had many people in my life come forward and say they think I may be on the spectrum, which is interesting, including a listener of ours who actually was the first person who raised
it. Really? Wait, can I tell you why I think you're on the spectrum?
Okay. And we don't take this lightly, by the way. We're laughing because it's like, it feels out of the blue, but I take this very seriously.
Very seriously, yes.
It would explain some things.
And I have people in my family with autism, so I'm not taking this lightly, and it's not at all making fun of people. But a lot of times I hear you say, Bethany, that you hate having to make food. You hate thinking about food. You just want to take a food pill and never have to think about it again.
Food pellets.
And I was reading something or watching something the other day, and it was somebody who had autism who was making like a TikTok, and they say, listen, if you get upset because there's somebody in your life who's on the spectrum and they only ever want to eat the same exact thing, it's because it brings them comfort because they know what's coming.
That's so interesting.
And I was like, oh yeah, this food pellet thing that Bethany has, that's totally like maybe a symptom of her being on the spectrum.
It's so interesting. And like, autism is overdiagnosed, I think, in a lot of people, but it's also maybe not. So maybe like so many people have it, we just haven't had language for it.
Yeah.
Regardless, it is interesting that one of these issues I have is I don't know how I come across. Mm. I don't know how my voice sounds when I use it.
Yeah.
I don't know how my face looks when I'm just being myself.
Got it.
When I'm performing or acting, I am very much in the moment. And so I'm able to make these choices and be fully present in my body. So I know exactly what my voice and face are doing.
Yeah.
But if I'm living in my life, which is filled with anxiety, and that's where this comes from.
Yeah.
I'm not focused on the moment, and so things are coming across wildly differently.
Wait, so does it not come at all from you being on the spectrum, maybe?
I mean,
did we just diagnose you without having to diagnose you?
But it's more of a place of anxiety.
Okay.
This is very prevalent in people who have anxiety.
Got it.
So I found this really interesting article about five things that people with anxiety do that come across as rude.
Hmm.
And it's from lifeworkscc.com, written by Age Envy Digital.
Okay.
Their Christian name.
Oh.
And it's interesting. It's written for the people who are affected by someone with anxiety, not for people with anxiety, which is interesting.
Oh.
So here are some of the things that can come across as rude. Mm-hmm. Canceling plans. Mm-hmm. Makes sense because the person's having a panic attack, whatever. Yeah. Avoiding eye contact.
Oh.
Because like looking at someone and having someone look back at you, the feeling of being looked at is for me a physical sensation.
Mm.
I can feel myself, like if people are looking at me in a way that I don't anticipate.
Yeah.
Like if I'm walking down the street and construction workers all turn and look at me, I can physically feel it on my body.
Yeah.
Versus like being on a stage, that's fine because everyone has consent.
Well, because you like anticipate it. You know what's coming.
I know it's coming. I know what the rules are.
Yeah.
You're in the audience. I'm up here. Yep. I know the rules.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I walk through a crowd of construction workers, if they're going to talk to me, if they're going to touch me, if they're going to yell at me.
Yeah.
Like, that's a different thing. Getting easily frustrated.
Hmm.
This is also one of the reasons that I've realized I look angry all the time. It's not because I'm angry at you. It's because I'm frustrated.
Oh.
I'm either frustrated that I'm having a hard time focusing.
Uh-huh.
I'm frustrated that I can't tell what the other person's intentions are.
Mm.
I'm frustrated that, you know, this, like, I suddenly realize how overwhelmed I am with the things that are happening in my life, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it all comes across on your face.
Yes.
As looking angry.
So I have seen you in person when sometimes people are just shooting the shit.
Yeah.
And you know you have enough time to get to the next place you need to be.
Yeah.
But you can't stop thinking about it.
Yep.
I have seen you look physically angry because you're just thinking about the next thing that you need to do.
Yep, totally. And it's all panic.
And shooting the shit wasn't on your agenda.
No, it wasn't part of the schedule.
Yeah.
And I am panicking.
And like, I know what time your next appointment is.
Yep.
And I know you have enough time to get there. But yeah, you're angry.
Yeah.
You look physically angry.
And it's not anger.
Yeah.
It's panic.
Yeah.
It's raw panic.
Oh, well, that's good. So, Bethany, I'm going to annoy the shit out of you. Every time you look angry, I'm going to be like, are you actually angry?
Are you in a panic?
Or are you panicking?
I am panicking. So there's other ways that just in general people are being rude. But I can promise you, if someone in your life has anxiety,
yeah,
they're coming across rude. And it's really anxiety about these things, these different things. So another reason that I realize I look angry in life, and it comes from anxiety, is fear of not knowing what the social rules are, like being socially uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So, for example, back to this example in Ariel, I looked angry when I was asking Lulu if she was using the fabric.
Yeah.
Because I realized I may have missed the clue from her body language that she was about to use the fabric.
Oh.
So I was mad at myself for not picking up on the clue.
Yeah.
And I was confused about what I had missed. Thus, panic,
yes,
because I think I've hurt her feelings or made a social fumble.
I see that.
And it comes across as being angry.
I see that.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know, that's why I always let people cut me in line. Because I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, did I not see something?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's like the person might feel like I'm talking down to them. Like,
yeah,
oh, go ahead if you think you're next. You know?
Like, I don't know. I'm panicking.
I know. Yes.
Like, when you're engaging with people, because you're a much better social butterfly than I am.
Yeah.
When you're talking with people, mm-hmm, how often are you fully in the moment?
Mm-hmm.
And how often are you nervous or talking to yourself or uncomfortable or like trying to think of what to say next? Anything like that? How often? Because you're good at this.
Yeah. I don't. Social situations at this stage in my life, they don't make me feel that uncomfortable. Like, I'm fine at this point going to a party or chatting with people whom I don't know very well.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call me a superstar at it because I don't have a cult following that's paying me $40,000 every year to like listen to my words of wisdom.
I mean, you could.
I just listened to that podcast, Twin Flame. Have you heard of it yet?
No.
I think I texted it to you and Dennis. I'm not sure. I know you guys were on a road trip on Friday when I was texting you guys a bunch of stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We were driving.
Yeah. Anyway, there's this new podcast out called Twin Flame. It's about this cult. Anyway, cult leaders. Yeah. You're terrible. But also it's like a really lucrative business.
It really is. Until it falls apart and you all kill each other.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah,
at the, you know, it, right in the middle, right at the peak. It's great.
So I feel like there's a level above comfortable socialness where you really are like very good at captivating an audience.
Yeah.
I'm like kind of like just under that, where I'm not really thinking about what I'm going to say next.
Yeah.
Or I'm not really nervous or talking to myself. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's so frustrating to have this level of panic always happening in your head.
I understand that.
Because it takes precedence over everything that's happening on your face.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I looked online about how can I stop coming across as rude?
Yeah.
And one of the people, this was actually on Quora, which I don't subscribe to, so I only get like one answer, but it was the top answer and I like it.
Quora is for dudes.
Is it?
I don't know. I just think that Quora is for dudes.
So this person asked, I'm tired of coming across as a rude, unhappy person.
Hmm.
People always tend to take me wrong. What should I do?
Yeah.
And this person said, it's introspection. He said, I used to be someone who's really kind at heart. I always wish good for people, but people still take me as rude.
Huh.
And then he started inspecting his behavior, like really looking at, let's replay this interaction and let's see what I did, mm-hmm, what I said, and mm-hmm, how it came across. And that's where filming comes in so handy.
Yeah.
You are able to see that, oh, my arms were crossed in front of me because I was uncomfortable,
mm-hmm,
and that manifests as putting up a protective wall. Other people read that as you are being off-putting or defensive and your arms are crossed.
Yeah.
People see the furrowed brow. It's because I'm focusing on what I'm going to say or trying not to seem angry.
Yeah.
But it makes you look angry.
Yeah, because people take social cues from facial expressions
totally,
and body expressions.
Yep. Looking away because making eye contact makes me uncomfortable, but that makes it seem like you're not interested.
Mm.
thinking of this video that I had, like, looking intense. Yeah. I'm intense because I'm nervous, but yeah. I look mad. Right?
Yeah, people are like, take a chill pill.
Yeah.
I have a friend who, for a long time, I was like, ugh, he is so rude.
Yeah.
Because I would be like, hey, isn't that, like, I invite him to a movie premiere.
Yeah.
Let's go see blah, blah, blah. Like, we get to go to the premiere. I got tickets through work. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll come. I'm like, you're rude. I want a bigger reaction.
Yeah.
But it's just his way of saying, like, okay, I'm glad to be a partner in this.
Yep.
But I want someone to be like, oh, that's amazing. Thank you for inviting me.
You want the level you're putting out
to
be reflected in the level that is being given back.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And some people are just low energy in general. And it's hard to, like, build up the energy to volley it back.
I know.
But it feels like a letdown.
Once I made this person dinner and I was like, isn't this delicious? I spent a lot of time on it. And he's like, it's good. I'm like, I hate you.
I know that feeling. I come from a family where if you are not effusive about the gift we've given you, we cry.
And this person, I've known him for so many years, and not his fault he is not, like, over-enthusiastic the way I'm over-enthusiastic. And I feel like it's, like, some social anxiety in there, too.
Totally. And I think that there's probably a lot of overlapping of social anxiety in general, and autism, actually. Like, I was reading this article about it was a woman in her 40s who was diagnosed with autism, had, like, in her 40s. She had just been diagnosed. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that they can't seem to quite figure out is, do women, especially with autism, is a symptom of the autism depression and anxiety? Hmm. Or does depression and anxiety develop in women with autism because they are more likely to develop coping behaviors to try and hide the different things they're uncomfortable with? Like, women, this article said, are more likely to force themselves to make eye contact, even though it's uncomfortable.
Oh.
They are more willing or more likely to force themselves to engage in these, like, social behaviors of hugging and touching when they don't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
But that causes anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
They can't figure out which it is.
It's a cycle what came first, the chicken or the egg? Yeah.
Turns out, the egg.
What?
Because dinosaurs were laying eggs far before chickens were around.
So did a dinosaur egg turn into a chicken?
Unknown.
Do you know that you can feed scrambled eggs to chickens?
Gross. That's awful.
But then there's something that you have to do.
Maybe just don't feed them scrambled eggs.
But you can't feed them too many scrambled eggs. Or else when they start laying their eggs, they realize that these delicious, delicious scrambled eggs are actually just the eggs that they're laying.
Kathleen.
And so then they'll start eating their own eggs.
That's messed up.
I think you just
made that up.
No, I didn't. I swear. I read it. I saw it on, like, TikTok somewhere, I think.
I don't trust TikTok as a source for science.
I do.
Evolution news.
I do.
Okay. So, unrelated to anxiety, I found this interesting. Here are some things that you do in your daily life that are coming across as rude.
Oh.
This goes to your friend, Kathleen. Number one, ending texts with periods.
Yeah.
If you don't know this, if you are ending a text with a period, it comes across as rude. Number two, this is from Bustle, by the way. Not tipping enough. If you are tipping, like, 15 on the low end, 20% should be. If you're not tipping that, you are coming across as though they were a bad server and it makes you look rude.
Okay. I have some questions about this.
Sure.
First of all, I really fucked myself over the other day. Tip was already included and I didn't realize it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then I left another 20% on top of that.
I've done that.
Oh, it added like another $20 to the bill.
Yeah,
like,
I've done
what
that.
What did I do?
Yeah.
But, okay, let's say you're just getting a black iced coffee.
Yeah.
Are you going to tip as much doing that as you would getting a latte?
No, I'll tip a buck on the iced coffee. Okay. I'll do, like, bar rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but what if the iced coffee is, like, a special type of coffee? Like, I don't know, a coffee that's laced with gold, but they didn't have to do any extra work to pour it into your cup.
No, if they're pouring a pitcher... You know, pouring from a pitcher into my glass.
Yeah.
No, I'll tip a buck. If it's artisanal something or other and you have to, like, set a piece of thyme on fire and then, like, blow it out and put it in my cup and, like, the essence of it has to radiate and then you pull it out and pour the coffee, you know, then I'll tip you 20%.
Okay, but also you took a job where you had to do that much to pour a cocktail.
Because you need the hours for the job you're actually going for. You need your job to be flexible. And unfortunately, flexible jobs don't pay as much.
Okay, let me ask you this about tipping. If there is a delivery fee, do you still tip the full 20%?
Yes.
You do.
Here's my thought.
Before tax or after tax?
I usually do after because I'm too lazy to look at before.
Oh,
but if it's like
I always
a big,
do before.
Yeah, you yeah. should do before.
Yeah.
Here's my thing.
Uh-huh.
If it's going to be an extra $3.
I know. It's like, what's that in life?
Like, it will probably mean more to the person who's making less than minimum wage.
Yeah.
Then it's not going to change my life. $3.
No, you're
it
right.
It may change theirs.
You're right.
So that's usually. And I'm not trying to sound like. I just, that's the mental process I go through because I usually don't want to.
What if you pick the food up? They haven't, nobody served you. They didn't deliver it to your house.
Because
I do, I'll do like 15%.
Yeah, I'll do a lower.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll do a lower.
Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to derail your dump.
That's okay. I derailed yours with coffee creamer. Here's another rude thing that you might be doing that you don't realize is rude.
Uh-oh.
Telling people you're on your way.
Uh-oh.
Now.
Did you look at me? Did you look at me intently on purpose?
I looked at you because you're my partner and you're across the table.
You looked at me because I'm your late friend.
So if you are someone who is always running late or is running late.
Yeah.
You may feel like it's going to make your friends feel better if you say you're like 5 minutes away, even though you're like 20 to 30 minutes away.
Always do that.
It is better to be honest.
Yeah.
So that your friend knows.
Yeah.
I have time to run to the store. Mm-hmm. I have time to run back and grab my comfy shoes. Otherwise, they're just going to be angry because 20 minutes is going by and they're like, I could have gone back to get my comfy shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Here's another one.
Uh-huh.
You got to make eye contact during a toast or you look mad.
Oh, like a cheers.
Yep, you have. Yeah, if you're doing like cheers to the bride, you got to look at people. Otherwise, you look like you got a secret.
I will see now. I'm thinking about doing a cheers. I always look at the glass.
Look at the person.
What if there's so many people?
Pick a couple people.
Do I do a windshield wiper look around the room?
Do a windshield wiper. Do like a nice, just a grand gesture as though you're a magician motioning to the audience that you've just done an illusion.
Like one of those computer screens where it's curved
all
in
the way
the
around.
Side. I don't understand those. Who needs a screen that big?
An IMAX editor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see that.
I don't know. Probably, right?
No, you're right. Yeah.
Texting during a meal. Rude. Comes across as rude.
Yeah.
Don't do it. If someone is talking and you're thinking of your answer while they're talking, they can tell you're not listening.
Like we do on this podcast?
All the time. All the time. Every time you email, sending brief, emotionless emails.
I do this all the time.
Kathleen, sometimes your emails scare the hell out of me.
No, do they really?
Yeah. Sometimes I'm so afraid of the person's feelings because I'm like, oh, that feels mean. And I know it's not because I know you.
Yeah.
And I know it's just like a down to business because sometimes your emails are like effusive as hell.
Yeah.
But like sometimes you're like, FYI, this was we already posted this. And I was like, I'm so scared.
Didn't you see I posted it already?
But I do the same thing.
I once got in trouble at my old job because somebody was like, hey, you should post this. And I was at the point where I was just so frustrated. I was so tired because I was staying up late to post. I was waking up early to post. And I looked at that person and I was like, it was done last night. I got in so much trouble.
I love those moments. Mm-hmm. Interrupting when someone is talking.
Oh, sorry.
You know,
I do that all the time. I'm so sorry.
Whatever. Standing with crossed arms. I do it usually because I'm just insecure about how I look, but it comes across as standoffish.
I see that. But what if you're also cold?
I think that it's like if we're all standing outside, it's 20 degrees below zero. Yeah. I'm not going to assume you're standoffish.
Do you ever catch yourself in those moments where you're standing with your arms crossed and you're like, oh, wait a minute. I need to uncross my arms.
Open up my body language. Mm-hmm. And I put my hands in my pockets and I look down.
You know, at a party, if there's a couch, I love sinking into the corner.
Yeah.
Crossing my legs.
Yeah.
Crossing my arms.
Yeah.
And I have a little drink and it makes me feel cozy, but it makes me also look standoffish.
A little, or it makes you look like you're really happily intent on listening to someone's story. I'm here.
I'm listening to your cozy mystery.
This one says not remembering someone's name. I'm sorry. I don't remember any names because again, I'm in a sheer panic when I'm meeting you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blocking the aisle in the grocery store. Yes. Very rude. Be aware. Look at your six. Pull over to the side always.
Yeah, and don't pull over next to the display of a Coffee Mate. You know when they put like a cardboard, or maybe not Coffee Mate, that needs to be refrigerated. I don't know.
Not all of them. It's Coffee's Perfect Mate.
Gravy Mate. Gravy Mate doesn't need to be refrigerated.
Can you imagine like a powdered gravy in a canister?
No, Bethany. Gravy Mate is this little brown liquid that you add to your gravy to make.
Wait, is that a real thing?
Yeah. I love
that
Gravy Mate.
Disgusting.
Okay. Okay, okay, well, like, do you, gravy is basically just meat juice that you add some cornstarch or like some flour to, and sometimes you want it to look brown, like browner than it is, so you add a little gravy mate to it.
I hate the words gravy mate.
Well, anyway, they'll put it in like a cardboard stand in the middle of the aisle, which I think is so stupid. Anyway, please only put those little displays at the end of the aisle.
Gravy mate.
And then someone will pull their cart right up to the display. And so now they're blocking the whole aisle. Pull behind the gravy mate.
Gravy mate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm coming across as rude, like I'm not listening to you because my head is stuck in gravy mate.
Yeah, you're spinning on gravy mate.
I'm
okay.
Spiraling into gravy mate.
I get it. I get it.
Okay. And lastly, and I do this too, something rude is reacting to what you think someone said. And this can make you come across as rude because we're thinking of our own thoughts. And so we think we know what they said and it's not what they said. And we come across as rude. I do this all the time because, again, blind panic.
Well, give me an example of when that's happened to you.
Like when someone is, I'm trying to think of the last time this happened. Like if someone, okay, if I'm discussing political views with someone, God help us both.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they're on, let's say, the opposing side, and they give a reason for why they feel a certain way, and I'm in a fury, and I'm like, the way you think is wrong because I have maybe missed the nuanced point that they're making, and they just said, like, I agree with you on these points, and I come across as angry.
I see.
Because it's like, I just assume that everything you're thinking is against what I'm thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes. No, that totally makes sense.
Which brings us, Kathleen, to the way that if anyone else is struggling with this and I can help fix it, be in the moment. Actually listen to what the person said, because then your face is actually going to react to the thing you actually just heard.
Yeah.
And it's not reacting to the panic you're feeling inside and the panic you're feeling inside and all the panic you're feeling inside. Actually listen to what people are saying. Actually look at the person that you are talking to and let the amount that you love them wash over your face.
Yeah.
And it will be such a relief for your head. And I think it will help you come across as like the nice person you are and not the angry, panicked person you feel like you might be all the time. I'm sorry for everything.
I forgive you. I don't know what I'm forgiving you for because I'm late and rude as well.
So I don't know. If anyone's ever known me and thought I was awful, it's probably because I was just in a panic.
I promise you, gentle listeners, Bethany is not awful. She's lovely. She's just angry.
She is always in a panic.
She just looks angry. You know, I don't know why they call the solo stove the solo stove. I mean, I understand that it's a stove sitting alone and it's solo, but I never want to enjoy it solo.
No, you can enjoy it with many people around making like marshmallows.
I wish they would rename it to like many friends stove.
Look, if you love a campfire situation, but you don't like smelling like smoke, or you wish you could bring the campfire to your backyard or like on a family trip or to your mother-in-law's house, the solo stove is a portable campfire stove.
Yes, it's a portable fire pit. Just imagine, you bring it over to your mother-in-law's house, you don't really like chatting with her, you set it up in the backyard and you stay there.
Solo stove fire pits are amazingly engineered. They're made with premium grade 304 stainless steel, and they have a 360 degree airflow system. So that means that you are getting more efficiency from your fire with less smoke. The smoke somehow goes up.
Yep.
But the heat comes out. So you don't have to do that game where you're all moving your chair every time the wind changes or your clothes smell like smoke afterwards.
Yep.
There is very little smoke, very much fire.
Every time I use it, I crack open a beer or a bottle of wine and I sit there and I just look at the flames and I let myself be enticed by my solo stove.
Oh, hell yeah. Plus, it's easy to light with just a few bits of starter. Your fire's blazing in minutes. I can speak from personal experience. We gave my mother a solo stove for Christmas. It was so easy to set up and she was so excited excited. She and my brothers-in-law had it outside ready to go before we had finished opening Christmas presents. Yeah. There was a puff of smoke in the shape of their bodies. They were outside. She uses it all the time. It is such a good gift.
So shop now and get up to 30% off of fire pits all month long. And use the promo code TASTE at checkout to get an extra $20 off.
Plus a lifetime warranty and free 30-day returns.
So just go to solostove.com and remember, you get $20 off when you use the promo code TASTE.
So Kathleen, we got an email from a gentle listener.
Yeah. Give her a name, Bethany, a cool Victorian name.
Veronique.
Ooh.
Labradoodle.
Oh, okay, great.
Of the East Hampton Labradoodles. and she sent us an email about herpes.
Yeah.
Because every once in a while we comment on like nothing, you know.
Glitter is the herpes of the art world.
Exactly, which it is. Mm-hmm. And she emailed us to kind of like give us herpes information that she doesn't think most people have because she learned it the hard way.
Yeah, she has herpes.
Do you want to start reading? Yeah. Do you want to jump into it?
Yeah. What's her name again?
Veronique. Labradoodle of the East Hampton Labradoodles. Okay. All hyphenated.
Veronique. Subject line, she writes, love and herpes.
Which is the lesser known sequel to Love and Basketball.
I was just going to say that. I feel like Hallmark should do a movie called Love and Herpes, starring Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, it's a Christmas movie.
Okay, she writes, Dear Bethany and Kathleen, first and foremost, I love you both. I listened to you both on air at your old job, loved them, and I've loved listening to An Acquired Taste from the very beginning. You are both incredibly charming, real, genuine, hilarious women, and your show fills me with so much joy.
We probably can cut this part out.
No.
I think it feels like we're filleting ourselves.
No. Together, you both, along with your friends, and that's why we drink, have gotten me through some of the hardest years of my life. Well, that's very sweet.
That's very kind. Thank you. Thank you, Veronique.
Those hard years included getting divorced, finding out my husband was having an affair while I was pregnant.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, with our second child, transitioning to a single mom, finding love again, and also getting diagnosed with HSV2, aka genital herpes.
And she includes an upside down smiley face, which I think is a good emoji.
Yes.
So she continues, that's nice, Veronique. Why are you reaching out? I'm so glad you asked. She says, over the course of the last few months, there have been multiple times where you guys have made herpes jokes on the pods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
It's always been quick and in passing. I'm not reaching out to scold you or because I'm offended, but I know you're both exceptional people who are always looking to do better. I thought I would share a little insight on herpes. So I'm always willing to learn. So she goes, did you know that herpes is not included on a standard STI panel?
What?
Sexually transmitted infections. Because I didn't, and neither did my partner. I contracted herpes simplex version 2 for my current partner, my first and only partner after taking a year and a half to heal after my divorce.
Oh, no.
We had protected sex for months, and after about 6 months of dating, and only after we both went to our doctors and came back with negative STI panels, did we decide, condom schmomdom.
Yeah, I get it.
We did everything right, but it didn't matter. Flabbergasted because my partner had no idea he had HSV2, and exhausted because my first herpes simplex virus outbreak felt like the worst flu ever, and I wound up in the hospital with a fever of 104.
Oh my God.
It was only then I found out that you need to either be having an active outbreak for a visual diagnosis or receive a separate blood test to screen for herpes simplex virus. My partner has never had an outbreak, and not knowing it wasn't included in the STI panel, he had no idea he had it.
She continues, I had so much shame when I found out about my diagnosis. Herpes is typically the butt of all sex jokes and is painted to be this life-ending thing by American sex education, which is trash. Mm-hmm. Yep. And society in general, who looks at herpes as something shameful. Why, though, when it is so common, according to WHO, 13% of the world's population is infected with HSV2. And let's not forget about HSV1, aka cold sores. Cold sores are herpes and can be transmitted from someone's mouth to their partner's genitals. I don't know if I knew that.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. She says, I don't know if this is brand new information to you or not, but I didn't know any of this until I received my diagnosis. And because of that, I wanted to share it with you, my two favorite podcasters, so that perhaps in the future you could share this information with your taste buds and we can all be a little bit wiser and better than the American sex education systems we wind up in.
She says, if you want to learn more about HSV or STIs in general, I highly recommend the Positively Positive podcast. She was my first resource post-diagnosis and helped me feel like I wasn't just a sad, dirty failure. Absolutely not. She said she made me feel happy and alive and included just like you guys do. First of all, it makes me so sad that being diagnosed with herpes makes you feel like you're a dirty person.
Yeah.
You're not.
Yeah.
It's very common.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how your sex education was, Kathleen.
Yeah.
Mine was in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So we were taught that if you had sex before marriage, you would get AIDS.
Oh my God.
And if you had sex within marriage, you would not get AIDS.
Oh my God.
And the focus was AIDS. Like, I didn't realize it until I looked back and my sister and I had a conversation about it. And she was like, oh yeah, our teachers just believed that you poor kids, you're all going to get AIDS.
Oh my God.
And it's like, it's so bizarre. And so we were taught that sex equaled diseases.
Oh my God.
And if you got a disease, it was because you were to blame for having a bit of a loose sex life. And so there's all of this like negative, and I went to a public school. It's not like this was like a religious school or something.
Yeah.
There was so much shame tied up with any sort of sexually transmitted illness or infection, rather. Herpes with that, but we didn't get taught a lot about it because we were mostly focused on AIDS.
That is insane to me because I think I had a pretty good sex education. I mean, it came from a school that was pretty liberal. It wasn't a religious school. I had a pretty good sex education. I don't remember a whole lot about it. Also, I was like a pervy teen, so I was doing a lot of reading about sex on my own. Pervy teen is not the right word, but just like a curious teen.
Totally.
Get books out from the library and whatnot. And then the internet happened, and then you could basically look up anything.
Totally.
But gentle listener, I don't know exactly what you were going through, but when I was 22, I was diagnosed with HPV, which, like herpes, is also a virus.
Yes.
Which, like herpes, this was 2008, 9 when I was diagnosed. It wasn't HPV. The HPV shot was just coming out.
Yeah.
And people didn't really know a lot about it. And it was also looked upon like, oh, you're very loose.
Yeah, you have warts. You're disgusting and you're wrong. And you're a hussy and you show your ankles.
There's warts inside your cervix.
Yeah.
You are just, you're a loose human. And at that point, I think I'd only had sex with like 2 or 3 people in my life. And it just, you could have sex with one person and end up with HPV. You could have sex with one person and end up with herpes.
Yeah.
Someone could give you fellatio who has a cold sore.
Yes.
I learned today.
Yes.
And you could end up with herpes. And I feel so bad for people who have to navigate this world where there is like a dirty stigma.
Totally.
And luckily my HPV cleared up. I've never had another scare since. They scraped some cells off the inside of my cervix, which hurt like all fuck.
Ow.
They burned them off.
Jesus.
And I've been okay ever since. But slowly through the woodwork, when I started talking about it, my friends, all of a sudden, I had HPV. My sister had HPV.
Yeah.
And I imagine that it's the same thing with herpes. But herpes is, I feel like there's more of a stigma with herpes. And for that, I'm really, really sorry, gentle listener.
And she said, by the way, she goes, honestly, finding love with a supportive partner and having great sex again was worth the HSV diagnosis. Hopefully that's not the trade-off you always have to have.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that it all worked out okay, and that I think the right partner also is going to be, you know, understanding and not freak out. Like in her case, her partner had it, which is, you know, why. But I think the good ones aren't going to be scared away by it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that you don't have to worry that you're never going to find someone if you know that you have herpes and or you know you have HPV. It's like it's not going to kill your love prospects.
So should we not make jokes about glitter being the herpes of the art world anymore?
I mean, I think that
it's fine.
I think it's not meant to be like, glitter is shameful and so is your herpes.
It's just everywhere.
Glitter, so many people have herpes and glitter gets everywhere.
Yeah. People make jokes about ADHD when they don't have ADHD, and I have ADHD and I don't take offense to it 95% of the time.
I think that, you know, the spirit in which it is intended.
Yeah.
I think by and large.
Okay.
But anyway, Kathleen,
yeah.
Speaking of things we've learned, what did you learn this week?
So I learned that the first pancake is always the worst pancake.
Why?
And I know scientifically why.
Why?
Well, because have you ever heard of it as like a dating term? You know, when you have a bad breakup, the first person you date, AKA your pancake.
I've never heard that.
Oh, it was a plot line on Younger.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, the first person you date, AKA your pancake, it's never going to be the relationship that you're meant to be in.
Yeah.
You just need to get it out of the way.
Absolutely.
So it is because when you're making pancakes, you know, you don't want them to stick to the pan.
Yeah.
So you put a little butter on the pan, then you put in your first pancake.
Yeah.
But because people are always afraid of burning their pans and having the heat on too high,
yeah,
it causes that pancake to cook too slowly and it absorbs too much of the oil or whatever type of fat you have in the pan, and then it becomes soggy. So then you're like, oh shit, let me turn the heat up. You put your next pancake in and that is the good pancake.
Wow. So you just gotta trust that the heat needs to be high.
Yes, the heat needs to be high, and then maybe don't put the butter in or the spray until right before you're going to put in your first pancake.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And that's why you can date your first pancake.
Yes, you can. You can.
You can date the first one.
Bethany, what'd you learn this week?
I learned that some cats are just wired wrong.
Yeah.
And not necessarily, I mean, mine is, but like, the vet was telling us about this cat she has, and she has tried everything to figure out why this cat has the health issues the cat has, and there is no reason why her cat pukes all the time.
No.
She's a vet. She's run every diagnostic test possible.
Yeah.
And there's no reason. The cat just does.
Yeah.
She said some cats are just wired wrong. My normal vet has said that too. Some cats are just wired wrong.
You know, some humans are just wired
just
wrong.
Just wired wrong.
Like, I found out my friend's husband poops 6 times a day.
That's so many times.
He is wired wrong.
Why did she tell you that?
Because he had to get surgery for it.
What is the surgery? Do they got tighten up that sphincter?
Bethany, they went in. He came out. He had these stomach pains. They did like a, they looked inside with a what's it called? An ultrasound.
Sure.
They're like, we've never seen anything like this before. They opened him up. He had like all of this scar tissue on his stomach that was causing him pain, like pooping pain. And they're like, where did you get this from? You could have been born with it, but also, have you ever been punched really hard in the stomach?
Had he?
He doesn't remember.
So a gut punch caused his body to develop scar tissue, which made it
gut issues.
Ooh.
I know. Anyway, people and cats can be wired wrong.
Wired wrong.
My cat can only eat rabbit.
What?
Yeah. My cat is allergic to everything but rabbit.
Wired wrong.
Wired wrong. Yeah. Your face sometimes and connecting to your emotions, Bethany.
Wired wrong.
What did you learn this week, Bethany?
Wired wrong. That's what I learned. Cats are wired wrong.
Okay. Oh, that's right. You did yours already and I did mine.
That's fine. So now we move on to the social handles.
Okay, let's do that then.
Okay, this is where you can follow us, Kathleen. Where are you at?
Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. Also, you can follow our show on social media.
No, stop yelling like that, Bethany.
But I'm nervous and anxious and not mad.
It's making you come across as mad.
Why?
Okay. At Acquired Podcast on Twitter.
We are at Acquired Taste Podcast on Instagram.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group.
You can send us an email. Hello at AcquiredTastePodcast.com.
We have a Patreon where we do book club and live shows, and we release bonus episodes early without commercials, and we read your name at the end of them. For all of that wonderful information, head over to patreon.com/acquiredtaste.
We have a mailbox, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
Oh my gosh, I'm so scared of you.
Now it's like a mania.
So we also do voicemails at the end of every podcast. You can send us a text message or leave us a voicemail at 917-994-0353.
Nailed it.
Okay.
Our podcast is edited by Dennis Callow. You can follow him on social media at Dennis C-A-H-L-O. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
And taste buds, here is what you had to say this week.
Hi there. So I was just listening to the Cheating with the Handyman episode, and right when Bethany was about to say, like, no, you can't call it the handyman, in my head, I'm sitting here in my car driving, and I'm thinking, yeah, you've got to call it, like, Doug Fletcher or Doug Fisher. And then all of a sudden, right after that, she goes, Doug, and she said some other last name. But such a fun, weird coincidence. Anyways, so in sync. Love you guys. And I actually usually can relate to Kathleen on being late lately, or most of the time. And lately, I am now 30 minutes early to an aerial yoga class for the first time. So, yay. Anyways, have a great day. Love you all. I'm inspired by you all. And, yeah. Bye.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen. I was just calling because I'm listening to Bethany's story about Paul, and I think you guys were so sweet in regards to his caretaker, but as someone who is in the care field, I used to work with people that had dementia, Alzheimer's, and I actually did overnight shifts. I wanted to just say that was the immediate thought that I had was, where is his aid? And it actually makes me very worried for him, knowing that she was able to sleep through that, and also that she was not completely, like, I would have been so distraught. I would not have had one bit of saltiness in my attitude, because I would have been so thankful for everyone coming to his help, and also I would have been so relieved in that moment to know that he was okay. So I'm actually kind of a little bit worried for him, knowing that she is still on his care team. It makes me just a little bit weary about the situation. Everybody that I've ever known in the care industry would have just been falling over backwards, thanking Bethany, and it just sounded a little odd.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. I just wanted to call in. I was listening to the most recent podcast, and you were talking about the grandma on OnlyFans. And before I forgot, I wanted to highly recommend, 10 out of 10, the account on Instagram, OnlyPans, P-A-N-S. It's a really funny account about a gal that does a lot of cooking and different recipes, and I just think it's really funny that she took something like OnlyFans and made it a little bit sillier. So, my son is crying, so I'll talk to you later. Bye!
Hi, ladies. This is your late and print examiner, well, now certified late and print examiner, taste bud Jen calling. I'm calling to share some exciting news for me personally. I passed the certification exam, which is put on by the International Association for Identification, which I mentioned in the episode. They also put on the conferences annually. It's the oldest forensic association worldwide. So basically what that means, aside from me being able to put the letters CLPE at the end of my name in my email signature, which, trust me, I updated it as soon as I got my test results. I'm really excited. I just wanted to share because I thought it was awesome that you gave me a platform to talk about late and print examination and share my passion about it. So now that I've hit this milestone, I thought, of course, I want to share it with you. Hope it all is well. Sending love. Bye.
Hi, Bethany. Hi, Kathleen. It's Mika, your Eastern Pennsylvania taste bud. I was just listening to the recent episode, and I was so proud of Bethany when she pronounced Bibinka properly. I mean, it's not that hard to say. But I'm also proud of you, Bethany, because you mentioned a Filipino writer. I don't know why I should be proud. Anyway, but I am. This message is also for Demas the Dentist, a vampire goth editor. Happy birthday, Demas. I'm so happy that it's your birthday today, and I'm so happy that you were born and you came into Bethany's life, and now you are blessing us with your talent, and I can't wait for you to stream you playing back. I'm sorry. I usually have a script when I call in, but I don't have one. So yay for me messing up. Okay, bye guys.